How is everyone doing? This is episode 26, I believe, of Sit Down with Sniper. Today will be an interesting episode because I will be learning a lot as well with the listeners. We have brought someone from the Cool Cats team. Skiz, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm really happy to be here.
Dude, I'm really excited for this one. So when it comes to, we're going to get into your history and stuff like that, but I feel like there will be some people who might not know who you are. So for the listeners, is there a quick rundown you can give us on who you are with the Cool Cats and kind of what your job title is with that team?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the game director at Cool Cats. I'm not working on the web game that is currently out, which is a common misconception, but I was brought in early this year and I've been building out our game development team with experts in Unity game development, expert game designers, people who've been in the industry for a long time. And the goal with my team is to build products that can reach into traditional gaming beyond Web3, as well as create a more fully fleshed out gaming experience, because you know there's kind of a genre of crypto games that are a little bit more narrative driven and interact with the blockchain more. And then there's like traditional gaming that obviously is currently serving a wider audience, and so we want to merge those, and that is sort of where I fit in.
Okay, so that's way more intelligent and out of my realm of where I sit, but that's why I love this, because I'm going to learn so much literally just sitting here talking to you. So those that have been around the Cool Cats and have seen you post, you've been around for a little bit now. Before Cool Cats, I think a big thing that drew a lot of eyes to you was the fact that you are ex-Microsoft. Is there anything that you're allowed to speak on with that? Maybe your job title over there, what you may have done, or your responsibilities over there? If not, that's perfectly fine as well.
Sure. So I worked on both the military contract project, which, as I'm sure you can guess, I can't talk too much about, as well as Altspace and then its evolution into Mesh. So Altspace was a VR metaverse type project that Microsoft bought, I think, in like 2016, 2017. And it's similar to what you see in Facebook Horizons or VR Chat or things like that. And I worked on how that evolved into what is now Microsoft Mesh, which is their metaverse platform. It's sort of like a service layer. So think AWS or server hosting, website hosting type thing, but it's the tech layer that other metaverse projects can build on. It's still in the works, but I worked on how we translate the alt-based tech into that and how we make meaningful events in there. So things like virtual concerts and virtual events of that nature. Before that, the military stuff was all AR VR as well, which was mainly essentially high tech laser tag for the army, if that makes sense, for training in different combat scenarios. And before that, I was at a bunch of different companies doing AR VR tech before that, like amusement park rides in VR and training applications for electricians and all sorts of things, all sort of based in either game development or game development tools like Unity.
So being on the gaming side of this, at what point in your career were you sitting there and NFTs starting to pop up for you, or what introduced you to the whole system? And we'll talk about Cool Cats specifically down the road, but I'm just curious, what did anything pique your interest? Did you see something with the gaming? How did you go about that?
Yeah, so I started seeing NFTs popping up more and more, I think in 2019, 2020-ish. And I kind of wrote them off for a while, I think like a lot of people. And then I saw it picking up more and more steam this last bull market and decided to give it a closer look, and found that smart contract tech and the things I was sort of missing an understanding of in the Ethereum ecosystem was really powerful and very unique. And so that's when I started doing more research, started working on my own Solidity contracts. And at one point I was actually going to leave Microsoft to fundraise and start my own NFT gaming company. And then it so happens that when I was talking to Tom haphazardly about smart contract optimization, I was a good fit to help them in their gaming endeavors. And, you know, as a game developer and someone who wants to create a really good experience in this ecosystem, it was either try to get it up and running myself, have to build the community, have to create a really intriguing IP, or come into one of the best, if not the best community out there already with an amazing IP that can access so many people and create an experience for an audience already there. And so for me, it was a no-brainer. And so that's when I sort of made the dive, but I was looking at it for a long time before that, trying to figure out what I could do in the space.
That's interesting. So do you see the profile picture NFTs, the gaming NFTs? Now, a lot of it's different. Do you see, I guess I should say, do you see gaming NFTs becoming as popular as the profile NFTs?
Profile picture? I think it's kind of an apples to oranges scenario there because, mm-hmm. So first of all, I think that profile picture NFTs can be gaming NFTs as skins. In the same way you have Fortnite skins that are full characters. You know, we've all seen in Sandbox and in Decentraland and what they plan on doing in Other Side, that people will be able to bring in profile picture projects as 3D models from different ecosystems. And so I think that intrinsically they could all be gaming NFTs. But as far as like whether an in-game sword is going to take over with floor price or volume or anything like that, a profile picture project, I'd imagine not, but I also think it serves a different market. I've been in gaming ecosystems as a consumer and developer for a long time. And you look at ecosystems like Counter-Strike Global Offensive with their skin economy, or Dota 2 or TF2, or even going back to EVE Online or MMOs that existed, you know, 20 years ago, and their currencies were sold on gray markets for a lot of money. You know, at one point, I think EVE Online's currency eclipsed the value of the Japanese yen. And so when you see that, in my mind, games have always had these valuable items, and blockchain just empowers people to realize that value easier with a more structure around it. And so I think gaming NFTs at whole will be much larger than profile picture projects because there's just a wide appeal to gaming items already. And this just provides more structure for that value. But as far as whether like an individual sword will be more valuable than an ape or a cool cat, you know, I think that that's kind of hard to say because it just depends on what it is.
I like the first example you gave as well, because I've heard many people use the Fortnite reference, especially when it comes to like, you know, how many people have you seen buy hundreds of dollars worth of skins? And then after you turn the game off, it's like, you know, you can't do nothing with that skin. It's like the skin's only in that game. So imagine having the cool cat where you can jump into the other side and you can run around as your cool cat. So I do like that. I definitely should have thought about that. And the sandbox as well, doing great things. I did want to ask you, being in the gaming realm, did you, while at Microsoft or any of your other places that you might have been after that or slightly before, did you see any coworkers or anyone else in your field start gravitating towards NFTs, or was it still something that wasn't really talked about heavily?
You know, that's really funny. I can't say too much here, but I'll give you a short anecdote. Okay. A project at Microsoft at one point that my manager was moving on to at the time was, in my mind, very fitting for NFTs. And I brought that up to him and said, I think NFTs would be a great tech to use as the underlying, you know, backend for this. There's a massive market for it right now. We'd be first movers in this space as like a large company. And, you know, I think it's a great opportunity. And they basically said, well, you know, it's not super established. There's a lot of legal and PR risks and things like that. And I was like, okay, you know, that makes sense. Big companies can't take big risks on things that are highly unregulated. And, you know, I understand that. Then like, I think a month or two later on the same project, on the same subject, there were surveys going out saying, what's your favorite NFT marketplace? What NFT games have you interacted with? And they were trying to get a bunch of this information from the internal teams about their experience with NFTs. And I reached out again and said, hey, like, I have a lot of knowledge on this. I use these tools myself a lot. Like, I'd love to provide insight in this and, you know, help you guys make the right decisions here. And it was sort of met with silence. And so, yes, I saw a lot of interest in NFTs across Microsoft. Also a lot of people who were against it, but my experience was, at least from an organizational level, you know, they're kind of lacking the vision, like a lot of big organizations are. So no fault to them, but I thought it was kind of funny because I brought it up and then they were like, no, that's not for us. A few months later, it's for them. And then they don't really care to get actual insight. They're just kind of doing this broad sweeping, you know, do we want to jump into this for the hype sort of thing. So
Yeah, I find that a little weird to do a broad sweep like that, especially whenever you have people that are familiar with not only the platforms, but everything in general. And I've always been very curious of why these big companies, or maybe a company like that, would not want to take advantage of having people around them that are having NFTs in their circle of competence. So it's very odd. And but I guess, like you said, having the legality issues, all that non-regulated things, that does make 100% sense. Before we jump into the cool cat side of what you do, the last question regarding like NFTs and that, what would you say? Is there anything you think that could change in order for like, not what could change, what needs to change in order for these big companies to take in to NFTs, like want to join in? And because I mean, there's been plenty of times where I've been like, oh, this would definitely fit this brand, or oh, that would definitely fit that IP. But it seems like a brand has no use for NFTs. Is it just a legality side, you think, or is there more to it?
I think there's two things. For a company like Microsoft, I think it's a lot of the legal issues. There's a lack of regulation and also a lot of weird legal precedences around these things. And I'm not a lawyer, so I don't want to speak as if I am a source of knowledge on this, but I know that there was a big issue as they were looking into using NFTs at some point around, I think legislation had just come out where you need to KYC people interacting with marketplaces, or sort of what's the word? Any exchanges, basically. I'm forgetting exactly the terminology there, but yeah. And so at that point, like there was some pushback on companies like OpenSea and Coinbase and their requirement to report customer data. And so I think with things like that popping up, it was just kind of scary for them because they don't want to make a large investment in something that will rapidly change and then restrict what they might be working towards. And so I think that's one side of it, especially for gaming companies. The other side of it is that public sentiment hates NFTs. Everybody outside of NFTs absolutely despises them, especially gamers, especially the game industry. I'll tell you right now, it's really hard to hire from the game industry because a lot of people have a warped perception of what NFTs are. Partially because 95% of the ecosystem is absolute crap, and they are Ponzi type projects, or they're market manipulation, or things like that, and that's easily observable. And so I think that's a big issue. But then there's also the eco concerns, which blockchains like Polygon are addressing, but they aren't very well known outside of the blockchain space. And there's just like this culmination of negativity around NFTs that drives things like the Ubisoft boycott when they tried to release NFTs and Ghost Recon, for example. And I don't know if they released NFTs and Ghost Recon in the most tasteful way. It seemed like they kind of just slapped NFT on it and didn't do it in a way that really provided Web3 value. But I know that when we see time and time again these gaming companies getting slapped in the face when they try to even touch NFTs or blockchain, it's really hard for big players to commit to something like that, knowing that the backlash is going to be so harsh.
I mean, there has been a lot of, I haven't seen one gamer, none of my friends that like actually like gaming, none of them like NFTs. They don't really see a use for it. Hopefully we can get that perception changed. I don't know what it is, but I could only imagine if, let's say, Microsoft or anybody for this matter goes to partner with someone, and the amount of I guess the depth you would have to go in to look at who you're partnering with, because you could only imagine my partnering with them and then a project rugging or doing something just evil. So, I mean, yeah, there is a lot of things that go into it. I want to jump into now you working with the Cool Cats. So you would go from these different jobs and you have the background in gaming. What drew you to Cool Cats specifically?
So one of my goals when I was looking at doing my own NFT company, before I came across Cool Cats, was to make NFTs and NFT gaming accessible to the masses. I felt that a lot of gaming products, quite frankly, aren't sustainable at all, and they're great for raising money short term and creating fun, I don't want to call them schemes, but fun sort of dynamics to generate currency and to create this exclusive structure. But in my mind, that's not where the value is, and I don't think that value will exist at all in the same way in 5 years. And so my goal originally was to create an ecosystem that isn't reliant on NFTs as a barrier to entry and doesn't gatekeep or praise like this exclusive group, but rather creates an ecosystem that millions of people want to interact with and just so happens to utilize NFTs as a way to realize your value and be able to have more control over your assets. And so that was the goal originally with my efforts. And then once I came across Cool Cats and we talked and we sort of shared values, it was very clear that Cool Cats is the best project out there to make an accessible ecosystem, both in gaming, across an animated show, you know, any other media, toys. You know, it is a family-friendly brand. It can be enjoyed by anybody. It doesn't rub anyone the wrong way, as far as I've seen. And I've seen thousands of people interact with Cool Cats in different ways. And so I think that was the main thing, is like, if there's any project out there to cross the barrier into the mainstream, it's Cool Cats in my mind. And then on top of that, obviously it has a pre-existing audience, whereas I would have to build one from scratch. And so it really just pushed me over the edge. Like, this is the one opportunity to make the biggest NFT gaming company in the world.
I like that. And I like that you were able to just be like, you know, they have something good and I can learn from that. That's how I take it. Like, you're literally learning from Cool Cats, because this isn't something that you're a super pro at. I mean, you know, NFTs are new. So I really do like that. Whenever it comes to Cool Cats, I've always noticed that they are a super inclusive group. I've never seen it, you know, ever held by one specific like celebrity or influencer, none of that in the space. It's a very, very, very community driven project. And still today, you know, call a spade, there's a lot of FUD for stupid reasons. And you still got the people that ride or die, just like myself and other people. Horn Dog is a great example. And like, big shout out to people like Kevin, you know, he's been with Cool Cats for a while. Great guy. It's just a super great team, and I'm really happy to have met Klon and Evan and Link. So how long have you been with the Cool Cats now?
Officially, I think I started in January, although I guess I sort of started work in December, but I wasn't officially onboarded because holidays and whatnot. So I guess we're going up on 5 or 6 months now.
So as someone who is... you're pretty active to me, but I guess someone who is more in the background of things, what does it feel like to you to see all the community really get behind you guys, see the people enjoy the game? Me personally, I love Cooltopia. I have 3 pets, been generating milk like crazy. I think it's fun. I know that's not, you know, what exactly you do, but what is it like for someone like yourself to join the team in January, see all the love, see all the people support you, really support the game and y'all's vision together?
It's absolutely incredible. And as a game developer, the hardest part is normally getting people to try your product and getting enough people to experience it so that you can verify it's good and that you're doing things right. And then hopefully they stick around. And then if you make a bad change, they leave to a different game. Whereas coming into an NFT community so strong and so passionate, it's almost like we have a permanent test group of at least a fixed size, you know, around 5 to 10,000 that we can always rely on to try it out. And they'll tell us if it's bad, they'll tell us what's wrong with it. I mean, you know, we got plenty of feedback in our beta testing of the web game and things like that. But having such a passionate community that wants to see you succeed and is willing to stick with you through that is like unheard of in gaming. And so that in itself is so incredibly valuable. And I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, I don't think that exists almost anywhere else outside of NFTs, at least. And in my mind, Cool Cats seems to be one of the stronger projects, if not the strongest in that respect.
I'm telling you, easily one of the strongest, if not the strongest, when it comes to that. And that's why I love NFTs. This is a lot different realm, and I think maybe that might be what pushes people away. That's what people love, the ones that are here. But being someone that's seen a lot from multiple sides, you know, I usually have community members or founders or artists. Being the game developer that you are, what is something that you think people might not realize whenever it comes to your side of things, or maybe just the whole Cool Cats in general? Is there anything you could speak on that maybe, like, you know, it's not exactly what it seems? Because I know some people expect the game to be talked about one day, made the next, and then the following day it's expected to play. So what is something that, you know, from the gaming aspect may take a while?
Sure. So I guess I'll answer that in two sections. One, games are hard, and I don't think people realize this, both technically and from a design perspective, not just making it look good, not just making it feel good, but making it fun. And making a fun experience is really, really difficult. And you see big companies who spend hundreds of millions of dollars fail at this time and time again. And I don't think people in the NFT space fully recognize what a good game is. And it's more than just engineering lining up, and it's more than just having a profile picture, realized in a 3D animation. It's so much more than any of these individual components. And bringing that together to make a good experience is really, really difficult. And so I think that people overlook that. And I mean, it's obvious that people overlook that, but even in the biggest projects, like we look at Sandbox, incredible tech, and I have no doubt they'll be successful. They've created something truly unique there. But they have a relatively small player base compared to traditional games. And in my mind, I look at that and I say, like, they have so much great tech going for them. They've obviously mastered NFTs, and they've integrated in a really incredible way with their different lands and the way you can design on them. But they're lacking something bigger than that, which I think they can find. And this is not at all to FUD Sandbox, an incredible project. The founders are great. Like, I've talked to them before, but I think that that's something people don't realize. Like, to really reach mass adoption and to have a truly great experience is really difficult. And I think that we're on a very solid path to get there. And make something really fun. And we have game designers and developers from some of the biggest game companies in the world who've joined us. And so I think we're really set up for success there. But even the best, most set up for success projects can make games that don't pan out for whatever reason. And so I think that's something that needs to be considered when looking at these projects, that it's more than just an engineering effort. It's not just a web interface.
Now, that's a big thing. I was, and that's why I wanted to ask that, because whenever I would see the little FUD on Twitter, this or that, it would be for the smallest things. And I was like, do you guys realize like what it takes to make a game? Not only that, make a game and have all these different things, the blockchain, this and that, like to have all of that in a game to try to get it out in a timely manner, to try to do all this for the people, that's no easy task. And I really wanted to like kind of get the perspective of like, games are not easy to make. It's not, I don't think there's ever been like a game made in a week and it'd be super, super, super successful. You know what I'm saying? So,
Yep.
thank you very much for that.
And if I
Another
can
thing.
add
Oh, go
one
ahead.
thing there,
No,
actually,
absolutely.
I also just wanted to say that I think a lot of people have the misconception that metaverses are the future, which I think, generally speaking, yes, people will want more human-like interactions virtually, but it's more than just an avatar walking around and having a chat box. And a lot of projects are claiming, insane player accounts in one space, or this amount of massive land that you can build on and everyone can contribute. And it's all like really great tech and great in theory. But I'll tell you right now, while working at Microsoft on Mesh, we were designing for like large scale concerts and things like that in the metaverse. And making an experience for 10,000 people in one place is really hard. I mean, think of in-person experiences. How often is events of that scale like good for an individual? Like, I don't like being at the back of concerts in real life, let alone the metaverse. I don't like being in a crowded area, generally speaking, maybe at parties or something, but there's a limit to that. And so I think, like, in some ways, a lot of projects are pushing the technical boundaries, which is absolutely great, and that needs to be done to forward the tech aspect of things. But one thing that I think we're doing differently at Cool Cats is we're focusing on making a gaming experience and a very curated experience, so that when people enter, they're driven to one specific thing that we know will be good, rather than leaving people to their devices. And leaving to people to their devices in a UGC, user-generated content way, can work really well. We've seen that in Roblox, even on platforms less gaming like YouTube, but it's really hard to nail. And so I think that's one thing that we might be doing differently that people don't realize.
Yeah, I'm glad that you got into that because that rolled into the next question. That was literally, are you excited for what Cool Cats have up their sleeve? I know you can't talk about specifically what you may or may not have planned, but how excited are you in general for what you have seen behind the scenes?
As excited as I could be. I mean, I think we're making a game that the gaming market at large has been wanting for at least 10 or 15 years. And then we're also adding blockchain as a backend to empower players with more ownership and more control. And so with those two things combined, like, I think we really are positioned to potentially become one of the largest gaming companies in the world. And that's outside of the rest of our efforts, just the gaming aspect alone. And so I'm really excited. as excited as I could be. And by the way, I ask anybody when I get like really deep in thought, I talk in a very monotone voice and sometimes I get a little too fast, but that does not at all mean that I'm not excited. That's just how I operate and how I output.
No, you're fine, man. I love that. I don't care how you go about it, man. I love that, you know, you just have that in you. And I mean, it's hard to get around these questions because I know you can't answer too much or give away too much, and y'all have a lot behind the scene, but this is only the beginning for Cool Cats, I'm assuming, correct?
Absolutely.
Ooh, so man, I have so many questions that I wish I could ask yourself and Klon and Tom. But what is a way for myself, the listeners, and everyone in the NFT space, what can we do? Or do you have any thoughts on what we could possibly do to maybe get the traditional gamers into these games that, like, for example, Cool Cat, Cooltopia? How can we get people to accept more NFTs? Is that something you could speak on?
Yeah, definitely. I think you have to stop talking about money. Gamers don't care. They really don't. And when you talk to gamers about a game being used to generate money, they see that as you're trying to replace fun with economics and with capitalism. And, you know, I won't get into whether capitalism is good or what, you know, I mean, there's arguments there to be had outside of gaming, but I think that that is like a fundamental flaw in how people approach the conversation. I think the easiest thing you can say to gamers, and if they, especially if they play MMOs like World of Warcraft or anything like that, you tell them two things. One, if you stop liking World of Warcraft, or if you don't like Blizzard anymore because they made, you know, questionable decisions as a company or whatever, exchange all your World of Warcraft gold for RuneScape gold instantly. And then you take all the time you spent in World of Warcraft and the value you've created into the next ecosystem. And to a lot of game developers, it's scary because when you create experiences that silo people like World of Warcraft, and they have so many hours and so much gear and so much time spent leveling their characters and getting their guilds leveled up and things like that, you know, they create a very strong association emotionally and, you know, with their time and how they've done all that. It's hard to break away from that. And in my mind, as a game developer, knowing that we're creating something that we want to be as good as possible, and I think will be very, very good, it's like your experience should hold players. And if it can't, they should have the option to leave with the value they created. And so in my mind, games have always been play to earn. You know, there's plenty of instances dating back to the early 2000s where you can buy in-game currency or items for real world money. It's just on sketchy marketplaces that are entirely peer-to-peer, and you have to trust the other person, and it's really weird and sketchy. And blockchain just brings that into a light that is not as dangerous or manipulative or, you know, error prone. And so I think that, generally speaking, the easiest thing you can do to talk to gamers is just speak their language. Like, you got bored of World of Warcraft, probably. What if you could take all those items and whatnot and take your gold and buy stuff in the next game you want to play and get a head start?
Yo, you made two great points. One being, I've never met a gamer that has talked about money. And I say that because, for one, look how much games are right now. You know, a game is $60. Like, that, games are not cheap, and yet they buy tons. They buy tons of stuff in the game. So I've never heard no one really say money was a problem in that aspect on like buying things. So they don't care about buying. And I do always hear people start off with, it's always about money. Like, always it's P2E, P2E. Oh, you can make so much money playing this game. And it's like, that can just be a plus. I don't want to do it if the game's crap. Like, I don't want to just have to force myself through the game. And another thing you mentioned was trading. Like, let's say you were in Minecraft and you wish you could trade over your gold to RuneScape. I have definitely played games only because I was like, you know, I've done so much on the game. So, and as soon as you said that, I immediately thought about how I have transferred milk to ETH and then been able to use the ETH for something else that I really needed. And I was able to do that from all the hard work that I put in to Cool Cats, Cooltopia. And I could have either bought stuff on Cooltopia for my game and my pets to feed them, or I could exchange that to ETH, buy into another project, take the money out for bills, anything. And I don't think people realize it took me maybe 5 minutes of swapping things and some fees, and I literally had money from milk. I don't think people realized, and I know that's not the main factor driving Cooltopia, but I just don't think people realize how, one, cool that was, two, basically effortless that was, and three, like, I don't know, just crazy, like the fact I could do that. So,
yeah. Yeah, and to give you just another small anecdote there, I know one of the founders of one of the original Steam third-party marketplaces outside of Steam that allowed you to buy skins with credit cards or PayPal from games like CSGO and Dota 2 and things of that nature. And they, first of all, they did incredibly, you know, they made a ton of money off of transaction fees alone because there was a real demand there. But they created a safe exchange between those items for people outside of the Steam ecosystem. Now, obviously, everyone still uses CSGO skins in CSGO. There wasn't any interoperability there. But the main takeaway is that there was a very obvious need for structure to be implemented to facilitate those transactions. And blockchain does that by default with good code. And so you don't need any third parties. Now, you'll still have people like OpenSea facilitating transactions. But if someone wants to build the best marketplace to dig into data for Axie Infinity or for Cooltopia and look at the different rarities and look at the different traits, and they want to make a trading platform so you can like do one-to-one trade or whatever it is, they can do that without Cooltopia ever needing to develop that functionality outright because of smart contracts and how the blockchain is structured. And so I think that's one of the greater things that is maybe a little bit deeper technically, but is one of the most powerful aspects of blockchain tech and games.
Skiz, I don't think you understand how irritated I am with myself that I do not know more about like blockchain gaming and that I can't go super in depth because you're such a super intelligent person when it comes to like what you do in your field, you know, the things that you have done in your previous jobs and what you do now. So I'm so upset, but man, I can't express how happy I am. The fact that you came on here to like share all this about like literally your history, the cool cats, the gaming side of it, because I've been very curious, not only like what differences can we make as an NFT community, because everybody makes, you know, these posts and they preach about, yo, we need to be community. We need to get more people in here. Okay, well, let's do that then. But we need to ask the questions on how do we do that? So I think you've shared some pretty good like insights on what we need to do, especially for gaming. When you said like stop starting the conversations with money, that really like hit home with me. I think even myself, whenever I would tell people like my friends about gaming, that's the first thing I brought up, and I didn't even bring up what actually could come about it. So I'm very glad that you were able to say that. Is there anything, because I wanted to move into the five questions that we always ask on the podcast, but before doing so, is there anything that you want to let the listeners know, rather it be for NFTs, cool cats in general, or gaming, what is one takeaway that you want people to have from this podcast and this talk with yourself?
Sure. Well, going off of the last subject, I just want to hit home, be patient with people who are anti-NFT. Most of them are doing it out of compassion for what they believe are very moral and ethically righteous reasons. And from their perspective, like if I held their perspective, it would make complete sense. And so I think, you know, with any new technology, there's a lot of question marks because it's so technical that most people can't answer. And so misinformation often causes divides, and we need to just try to be as compassionate and intelligent in breaking down those walls in a constructive way rather than a combative way.
I like that. I like that. And that's, I mean, I can't stress enough to remember that when it comes to these NFTs, they are JPEGs at the end of the day, whether they have made you a lot of money or not. Like, these people are genuine people. There are people behind the screens. And just because someone don't want to jump into NFTs, yo, you don't got to hate them. Maybe they just don't want to look into it right now. Maybe they'll look into it down the road. And if they never do, so be it. You know, you can't peer pressure. You can't force someone into something they don't want to do. The most you can do, show them what you know, if they're willing to listen. If they don't want to jump into it, hey, you did your part. And that's all we can do for right now. Jumping into the five questions, I tell everybody these are the same five questions asked on the podcast. Some of them are easy. Some of them are hard. I don't think none of these will be too crazy for you. But starting off at number one, I do always want to ask, for you, what is the most important thing in your life?
Well, that's jumping into a hard one. Maybe easy, I guess, depends on the person. I want to leave some sort of impact. Obviously, everyone wants to make the world better. I think that sounds kind of cliche, but specifically, I'd like to leave people with a good experience I contributed to, something that touches as many people as possible. That was part of my goal in moving away from the military team at Microsoft and onto Microsoft Mesh and Altspace. Is, that's a like a metaverse app to be used by millions of people. And that was why I was so intrigued by it. And so same with Cooltopia and any ambitions I have in the future, 10 or 20 years down the line, just making something that can positively impact as many people as possible.
Hey, I mean, me personally, Skiz, I know you're a humble guy, but I mean, dude, you're what you've done with Cool Cats and what you'll continue to do, knowing who you are and seeing your previous work, dude, I think you're doing great. So, just keep on that path, bro. And I mean, I'm super biased for Cool Cats. You know this, the listeners know this, but I feel like it's justifiable because it's a solid team, man. They've been doing good for so long. Y'all have seen the people behind it. I'm just behind it 100%. So I have no doubt that you're going to leave behind something very, very great. So yeah, don't even worry about that,
I
man.
appreciate that a lot.
Oh, no problem, man. No problem. I feel that way about all you guys on the team. Number two would be, what is an obstacle? Damn, maybe these don't get easy. what is an obstacle that you have overcome that have helped you get to where you are today? And let me also say that these don't have to be personal life. These don't have to be NFT related. It's totally up to your choice what you base them on. But yeah, what's one thing you've overcome to get you to where you are today?
Sure.
If you don't mind just asking that.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking of what would be a worthwhile answer to that. I think well, so one thing that definitely has helped me and I guess could be considered an obstacle is I've founded a few startups. Some have failed, some have succeeded. And I think in that while being at either big companies or being in between the big company jobs, I've learned a lot about working with people and trying to understand people's motivation for different things and how you can compromise or meet in the middle to get the best outcome that is best for everyone. And I think that that's sort of an overlooked aspect of working on large projects like ours. Where I think at like 43 employees right now, and we're still growing. I'm hiring like five roles right now, if anyone's interested. And so, with that, it's like you have all these different people from all these different backgrounds. And I'm so thankful that Cool Cats is so diverse in their team and their leadership and everything. And I think that one of the biggest things is you have to be able to bring people together and all work towards a common goal. And that's not as easy done as it is said. So I think that my obstacles in both failed and what I would call successful startups has definitely helped a lot in that respect.
Yo, the diversity for y'all is crazy. I mean, I'm not even gonna get into how deep I could go on the Cool Cats. Y'all know by now, freaking in love with them. Three, this one might be interesting for you, man. I'm kind of curious on this one. When you leave the house, when Skiz goes out to party, hit the club, hit the late night scene, what are three necessities that you have to bring with you whenever you leave the house? I know most people say phone, wallet. Try to exclude those as everybody needs those. Is there anything else that you might need with you? Chapstick, rubber bands? I don't know.
I am a big fan of tech wear, and I feel not whole without my acronym jacket for all those tech wear people out there. But as far as like, I guess more useful things, gum is always good. I try to have gum on me because
Like that.
I know, oftentimes I wish I could brush my teeth after lunch or something, but I might be out and about. So when you go to big conferences like GDC or NFT NYC, that's always valuable. And for a third thing, man, this is tough. Because I would say like phone or something, but I don't know. I'm gonna make it really dumb and cheesy and say bring a good attitude. But I mean, generally, I think, you know, one thing that I've found has been really helpful is like, don't be afraid to talk to anybody. You know, I've talked to people that if you looked at them, you'd probably say like, they don't seem like they'd be important or high up at conferences like GDC, or, you know, whether they don't fit the tech executive mold visually or whatever it is. But I think, you know, having an open mind and just being open to chat with anyone is always extremely valuable wherever you go outside of business or, you know, anything, just taking it in.
No, I mean, the good attitude, I kind of like that one. You know what I'm saying? So you never know who you can meet. Like you said, I'll give a good example at the Time meeting in LA. If you didn't know who Keith Grossman was, which is the president over at Time, if you seen him, you would never think that that was the president of Time. And you could walk up to him, speak to him, talk to him all day, and you'd never know. So you never know who you could talk to. Never be afraid to approach people. I've been trying to do that every time I go to these NFT events, because you really never know. You could run into someone that you follow or someone that follows you, and you wouldn't even know it unless you talk to them. I've done that before with a friend named Leap. But for all the people that have that nasty breath, that's Skiz telling y'all to bring some gum to NYC. You got to do it. I'll be bringing.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
So. I'll be bringing some of me too.
Yeah, my behalf. I could use it. I don't know why. I just have a proclivity to bad breath. So
I have a feeling whenever I see Skiz, he's going to be super well dressed, gum in pocket, suit up. I mean, I have a feeling you're going to be a very classy man. I don't know why I have this assumption, Skiz, but I already know you're going to bring the class with you in NYC. Are you going? I'm assuming you're going, right?
Yeah, I am going, but you're setting a high bar for me.
I'm saying, well, I know you can't. And before I get into the last question, I know you, well, two questions. I know you might not be able to speak on it, but we do know that Cool Cats are having a party. We do know that I would assume it's probably bigger than what they've done in the past. You don't have to give specifics, but are you excited for it?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I just saw all the information about it in a meeting today. And, you know, obviously, like you said, I can't share details, but It's going to be big.
Awesome. Awesome.
I think it'll surprise people.
Awesome. Yep. That's all you have to share with us. We are looking forward to NYC. I know I am doing everything I can to get out there. It's going to be a blast. Okay. Number four, this, I guess, is the easiest question. What is one thing you want to do before you get too old to do it?
There's a lot of things in that category.
I know, man. It's tough. I have one of mine skydiving, so can't use skydiving.
All right, I won't use that. I don't. My girlfriend won't let me. So that's okay.
I respect
that. I think I don't have a specific trick, but like some crazy trick, snowboarding. I grew up skateboarding my whole life, but I lived in Texas for most of my younger life. And so I somewhat recently started snowboarding the last couple of years now that I'm in the Seattle area. And yeah, snowboarding is just awesome. I wish I could do it more often. I wish I lived somewhere that it was year round rather than only in the winter season. And if Cool Cat succeeds and 10 years later we sell for lots of money and I can chill out, I think I'll just buy a place in Colorado and snowboard every day for a while.
Dude, Colorado looks so beautiful. I've been dying to go there. I have friends there. And I'm in Kentucky, so my snowboarding days are about zero because we have no snow, even yep. remotely close to that. So I think most people here go to like Indiana. There's like a little fake place that has snow and they snowboard there. So I have to give it a try one day. The last one. So for what you can answer, because we know you're Cool Cats. If I gave you 200 ETH, but you had to spend it on NFTs, what are some big purchases or plays you would get? So I guess asking you, would you get all Cool Cats or would you get all eggs? Would you swap it up here and there? Would you get some milk? How would you do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I would definitely buy as many one-of-ones as I could in Cool Cats. I love the one-of-ones, and knowing how they're going to be like such a unique cosmetic item as like character skins in plenty of different ecosystems. That just is so cool to me. Like walking around as like the devil cat or the lucky cat, you know, those are just big. I feel like that would take up a lot of 200 ETH, but if I have to go further than that, I would say get a massive arsenal army of pets so that when the time comes, I can deploy them as needed.
I'll tell you what, I wish I had 200 ETH right now, because when I tell you, I would have a disgusting amount of pets. I would be up there with Psyduck or Merkel. I would be up there. I love the pets. Just hatched my third one. So, dude, I love that answer. One of one cats. Ooh, I would probably go for some one of one pets as well, because they look pretty damn sick. I just saw the new one that released. It was like a fallen angel. It was supposed to be air, was fire. That one looked probably my favorite pet so far. So I would definitely, if I couldn't get some one of one cats, I would at least have to pick up some cats and a one of one pet. But no, dude, you answered all the questions. You freaking killed it the whole interview. I do apologize for the listeners. I think I fumbled one of the questions, and I am not as intelligent as Skiz when it comes to this field. So I did not have the best questions on hand, but that's okay. We still got some answers. Had an amazing time. And Skiz, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know Cool Catch has a lot going on, a lot planned, NYC coming up, the game, this, that, the third. So, brother, I cannot thank you enough for coming on here during all this time.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And don't at all knock yourself. I think if you ask too deep of questions, and you're not helping out an audience that probably needs to hear some of the higher level stuff. So I'm always happy to talk higher level stuff and get out of the weeds and, you know, in these kinds of conversations.
Dude, I love it. And I mean, yeah, you saved me a couple of times. There was times I was like, I hope he really gets this question, and you came through and you know exactly what I was talking about. So yeah, man, you really saved me. I can't thank you enough, Skiz. Is there anything that you want to leave the people with? Yeah, I mean, you could just leave them with, we love the cats if you want to, but I always want to give people a second to maybe get one last point across if they didn't, or if they had one last thing to say.
Yeah, I guess if you didn't know me before this, or if you haven't been following me, you know, you can follow me on Twitter. Obviously, you should be following Cool Cats on Twitter, as well as if you want to join our Discord, do that. And, you know, stay tuned. I think that we're really going to blow people away in the next year or so. And I guess, like you just said, Sniper, we love the cats.
Absolutely. We love the cats, and we absolutely, absolutely love the team. We love what they're doing over there. And like he said, for those that don't follow Skiz, you can find him on Twitter whenever this episode drops this coming Monday. His tag will be in there. Of course, y'all know where the Cool Cats are. Y'all know where to find them. If not, you can go to their profile. You believe their Discord is there. If not, it's super easy to find. You can go on the OpenSea, browse through the cats, the pets, all that. Check out Cooltopia, this, that, and the fourth. But with all that being said, we absolutely cannot thank you enough, Skiz. I thank everyone for listening in. We've been going for about an hour, so this is our time to wrap it up. We will be seeing you next week on episode 27. And we have some pretty cool guests coming up. So I wish you all have a great day, and we will be seeing y'all next week. Peace out.
Bye-bye.